We always have something very funny happens when we start.
The Soft Genius Hour of Squatch.
Just keep still. Keep together.
I believe in that face! That face! That clip art cutout of some old Yellow Pages ad face!
And March 4th, 14th also, which is this Tuesday, it's also Albert Einstein's birthday. A lot of people didn't know that. It's also Pi Day, 3.14.
Gosh, where's my subgenius calendar?
Yeah, so anyway, here's going to open up these phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
I feel full of air right now, knowing what I don't know.
You know, I feel filled to the brim with things I don't know, too.
Dave is risen.
The vacuum expands.
That's right.
In fact, it's expanding at such an exponential rate right now. I don't know if we can even talk about it. We're just probably going to explode any second.
Are you sure it's not yeast? Because that's what I had.
A yeast infection?
Well, just all over.
Well, you know, I hear that Dr. What's-her-face can treat those really well.
Read the yeast particles?
Dr. Carolyn something?
Carolyn Dean.
Yeah, Dr. Carolyn Dean is an expert at treating those things, isn't she?
She reads yeast infections the way they read tea leaves?
Well, you know, apparently she can take your yeast infection and make some tasty bread with it.
Yeah.
There's a... I'm in a rap group called the Yeasty Boys, actually. There's actually a rap group called the Yeasty Girls. They make, like, crazy feminist a cappella rap tunes, and I should... I don't know, they're kind of... Well, you know, they're indecent, so, you know, we're in safe harbor now. Maybe I can get away with playing them later.
Well, what's wrong with
Yeasty
good old...
Girls?
The Yeasty Girls, yes. They have a song called F Yourself, which is encouraging girls and women to take charge of their sexual gratification.
By
and, you know, not depend on unreliable male companions for that kind of thing.
That's perverted. That's against the Bible.
Yeah,
so
and they also have a song called...
We're just spreaders of something vile rather than they're the incubators of such a thing.
Well, you know, there are good boys and bad boys, you know what I mean?
We all want to share the love and drink wine and break bread and stuff like that, but we don't want to break bread if it's going to make us break wind.
And you know what? If it weren't for the yeasty boys, we wouldn't be able, the yeast, you know, we wouldn't have we wouldn't have wine or bread.
What's the word that's alluding that, you know, to describe the yeasty boys? They're very, you know, they're very,
they have kind of a, I don't
full
know.
Full of,
kvetch.
They're fermented.
I'm full of piss and vinegar, I don't know.
Yeah, piss, that would work.
But I don't think it's yeast involved in, maybe they do, I don't know. Hello, you're on the air with us. Hello, you are on the air.
Hello, first I want to ask about the background music. Is this like the instrumental version of Eleanor Rigby? Is this somehow the Beatles original track, or is this from a
yes,
George Martin album, or what?
This is the original, it's actually from a Beatles anthology, volume...
Who?
Two, yeah, and, yeah, volume two of the Beatles anthology, and, that's funny, I should have people call in and freestyle over this, you know, because it's so good to find instrumental tracks that people... I wonder what would it sound like if somebody started freestyling over this.
My problem is every time you add another person to the line, it takes a little volume out.
Well, then
of my hearing of it. I don't know if that's just doing it to my brain, my ear, or the phone line, or
do you have a?
It causes a structural change in the brain. You focus on the listener, I mean the caller, which is a smaller voice, and then your own voice grows smaller, and you wonder if perhaps you're in some kind of weird, you know.
You're a weird toy.
No, my voice stays really big in my head, but the caller is tiny, 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 and Dr. Sinister is fairly big.
Well, that's that means
you,
the
Dave,
truth.
Sound as more and more people come on, you sound lighter and more ignorant, but yet more fragrant.
More,
that's
real.
Mumble more.
And when somebody sounds fragrant, you know you're experiencing synesthesia.
Yeast fragrances. What about the Dead Milosevic's? You haven't parsed that band yet.
Oh man, the Dead Milosevic's. They were great while they lasted.
My favorite, Balkan dictator was Slobodan Milosevic.
And what did he do?
He was responsible. He was responsible for some of the most atrocious crimes of the Balkan Wars of the 90s.
Mine was Tito.
Marshall Tito. Who doesn't love Marshall Tito?
Marshall Tito. And I also like the what was the friendly sheriff guy? What was his Gumpkins or Feederfitch?
I thought you were into Mojo
the sheriff
and
of Nottingham.
Kibler.
He'd say things like, "Marshall, we're going to stomp," and you know, and they
well,
look at their
can,
guns.
Who could forget Pol Pot?
Pol Pot, overrated. Although the Killing Fields, that was a good movie.
We had recently to dredge up the numbers, the statistics for who is the most vicious tyrant, who had killed the most people, and what wars had caused the most mass deaths. And it was kind of a toss-up, really, between Stalin and Mao and Hitler, depending on the how you feathered
depending
the
on
numbers.
How, yeah, because about 30 million people starved to death during some of the more tumultuous parts of Mao's reign.
Right, yeah, but those you can't call those direct murders.
Well, you can exactly. Because of the kind of policies he instituted that caused the entire agricultural system to fail. I mean,
well,
they said that we're going to...
Conversely, blame the United States for the genocide of the Indians by very scientifically removing food sources and trade routes and just...
And introducing all kinds of horrible plagues.
And,
that,
yeah, burning them out pretty good, you know?
Yeah, actually, I would say that, you know... Actually, I mean, new research all the time is coming up showing just how extensive a population
there
was in North America before...
Around anymore. I mean, a real lot.
I mean, actually, a lot of the Amazon rainforest... was actually man-made. Some
I've
of it was.
I've heard this, not Heiderthal-like, but von Daniken-like sputter.
And now it's time to cleanse ourselves of that horrific experience we just went through and join the feminist kitchen we're going to walk.
Because I've worked up an appetite!
Walk on down to Feminist Kitchen. Today we have an esteemed, powerful woman guest, a member of the hierarchy of the Church of the Sun of Genius, and actually queen of all UFOs, Princess We Are Doe. For you burgeoning subgenius out there, you established subgenius out there, or just basically anybody who's ever thought or questioned that they were better than anyone else, this interview is going to rock your world. Princess We Are Doe. Let's speed it up. Hello?
Just cooking up some delicious treats in here. It's time for me to finally have my voice.
We're clearly soldiers in petty coats, leaders for women's votes. Though we adore men individually, we agree that as a group they're rather stupid.
Can you pass butter?
Cast off the shackles of yesterday, shoulder to shoulder into the fray. Our daughters' daughters will adore us, and they'll sing in grateful chorus. Well, run! The suffragette!
Princess Queen, my God!
It's Princess Wee live in your ear.
Princess, we're so happy that you could join us here today in the Feminist Kitchen.
I'm so glad I could be here.
So, Princess.
Excuse me, as the man, I feel like I should take charge of this Feminist Kitchen.
For those of you listeners at home, we're talking with a woman who is up with the likes. She is queen of all the UFOs. She controls the pleasure saucers who will rupture us one day. God, we're still waiting. July is coming up. 5th. I'm waiting. I want to be ruptured.
Waiting every second of every day, actually. It could happen any time, you know.
Yeah, so...
Well, you know, that actually... Rick, if I may interrupt. Princess Wee... I'm not trying to trap you here in a vicious cockfight, but there's something I've really needed to get off my chest for the last 10 years of...
Okay, Amos, if there's any way you can make your voice louder to me, do that.
I believe so.
Okay.
How's that?
Beautiful.
Well, I've been a card-carrying subgenius minister since 96.
Wow, 96.
Thank you very much. And I speak not only for myself, but for all the subgenius men and women on this doomed rock... who would like to know when your private, you know, agenda to make Bob and Reverend Stang look like the stupid men that they are by holding back the pleasure saucers, when are you going to let your domestic squabble go and let us get off of this doomed planet? You're the queen of the UFOs.
That was an evil cackle.
You know it and I know it. Look, he's not going to leave the toilet seat down. He's just not going to do it. But do you have to keep the excess from letting me experience the euphoria goodness. And pleasure? That is
what
my
a
birthright.
wise young man you are, I must say. But I actually could never reveal the thing that you have asked me. I'm sorry, I understand that you've waited a good full decade to get the answer to that question, and yet it's something that I just can't reveal. I'm sorry.
Is there anything we could do, maybe fiscally, to help that along? Is there, like, listeners at home, is there any, like, could we do a pledge drive to raise a couple $1,000,000,000? I don't know how much it would take. And then you'll release the pleasure saucers.
Oh, well, but of course, there's an ongoing, constant need for funding at the Church of the Subgenius. The Subgenius Foundation is always in need of sponsoring, and any donations that are given will definitely go in that direction. You can put your life on that.
And where do we send checks to?
Oh, you would send checks to Bob.
Just right. It's kind of like Santa Claus at the post office. J.R. Bob Dobbs, they just know where to send it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's helpful to have the P.O. box number on there, but you can just actually put Bob on an envelope and, it'll get close anyway.
You know, we don't really have time to talk about Bob today. I'd like to talk to you. Let's talk about Connie, shall we?
That's fine.
A controversial, strong female force in the Church of the Subgenius, arguably the most influential person in the Church of the Subgenius, arguably even more so than J.R. Bob Dobbs himself, just based on pure ability to swindle and to exert her will.
Have you ever met her?
Do you think she's the real power behind the pipe?
Well, Connie is definitely the real power behind the pipe. I mean, that was very, very kind of you to have said what you said at the beginning of your intro to me, but Connie is indeed the true power behind the pipe. So, yes, you've named it, that's for sure. And there are definitely not enough Connieites. There's not enough support out there. Reverend Stang is constantly complaining that women are always complaining that there aren't enough Connie products. So he churns out quality Connie products, and no one buys them.
Really? I mean, like, how about, like, an anti-wrinkle cream, a thigh buster cream? I mean, I want to look like Connie.
Well, I've actually considered putting on the market the only soap that I use, because it's a goat meal oat milk soap that's made in Lodi, Ohio, by some people that actually, you know, milk the goats themselves, and they make the soap there. That's the only soap I've used in the last 20 years, and I've been considering marketing that. That's like my only beauty secret, though, that soap.
Well, in this day and age, marketing certainly is the only avocation that makes sense. Dollars
Indeed.
And cents. And on that note, would you care to talk about the forthcoming book project you're working on?
The Subgenius Cyclopedia? The Bobliographon, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, that is churning away on the third floor of this house as we speak. It's being written. It's being produced. It's happening. It's an exciting, happening thing.
And why should some of us faithful, subservient, subgenius go out and buy this book when we have, like, six at home? Is this going to offer us more chances for rupture?
This is all new. All new stuff. Everything in this book has not been seen before. So this is definitely going to be revelatory of new things that all subgeniuses should see and know and will want to see and know.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is we just signed a new book deal. Last week, I suddenly was informed that it was time for a third testament, you might say, after the book of the Subgenius, Revelation X. The bad news is I have to have it completely finished, illustrated, and laid out in front of the cameras by May 15th. So, I'm starting to write it right now. And you guys get the help, I suppose. So, these little notes I'm looking at are actually the first notes for the beginning of the book. And I ask you, is there a 10-foot-long spike staking your wallet and your very face to your job,
yes,
friends? Are you serving two masters at all times?
Yes.
Sometimes you can't crap or get off the crapper, and that's where Bob comes in. Bob can help the pea shy, my friends. He's been in the pants of the man with the spastic colon. He can be your depends, your diaper. He will wipe and clean you spiritually. Get rid of those false beliefs. He's like the handy wipe, the diapy wipe, and this magic dispenser of slack can be yours. Good morning. I'm not trying to encourage anyone, really. Anyway, friends, a lot of us find ourselves trapped in this cage of only six dimensions, and you can let Bob bell the cat that is your head. You'll finally know whether you're coming or going. You'll know exactly what you think, but you'll have to pay for it. Slow money for dark matter, we call it. Something's been added. Something's been removed. How will you know once it's gone? You've got that problem with any cult you join or any belief you start believing in. One of our most beloved ministers, Reverend Onan Canobite, said, to sell a religion, you don't need all the answers, just one good answer, and that's Bob. That's that face. You don't need to know what Bob believes or what he teaches. You just need the damn head. And if you look at it, those of you who look at that thing and instantly understand how cool it is, you're the subgeniuses already. I probably don't have to tell you anything else.
And this show, by the way, is dedicated to the high school teacher in Ventura,
yes,
who just a few days ago saw a bug on his table.
Ew.
And he had a 40-millimeter grenade.
And he blew it up.
That I used
bug
to fire with my blooper. Yep. And he grabbed it. And went, damn bug. And went, bam. And hit the bug.
With the grenade and it blew up? In class?
And in class. In front of everybody, he lost his right hand. And most of
them. Did it kill the other
and
children?
His job. No, it didn't hit anybody. Amazing, fortunate.
Wow.
Yeah, just the whole thing
is... He didn't know it was alive. That was a live grenade, huh?
That the bug was alive?
Yeah, no, that the grenade was live.
Yeah, exactly. He had this thing on his desk for years. He's got a live 40-millimeter grenade.
Okay, now I think it's time for Hal to read his original response, written back in 1984.
Entitled, Soaking in the Sludge. Dear Glug and Doob, what's with you guys? Like, this tour wasn't any fun or anything. I thought the purpose of the whole thing was that I personally could have a good time, but you jerks ruined my fun. Why, you're all nothing but a pack of cards. Yes, you so-called pros turned out to be euphorial, numinous mouse holes. Paul, if you're through with my antique crystal radio, the one you said you needed to open your performance with that last frantic night in L.A., I'd like it back. Stang, that seance of yours was humiliating beyond words. No wonder you wouldn't look me in the eye. It wouldn't have fooled a Bobby Croc to the gills with Sterno, not to mention the other performers. But I doubt if you give a slat one way or the other. The traumatic image I'll carry around in my pants pocket for a lengthy interval is of you oscillating your pinky below my nasal appendage while squeaking like a sphincter-plugged Rotarian. Don't you be worrying if anybody believes in it. We've got their money. If you got it, I didn't, which makes me the chump. You left me holding the bag while certain other slug gimmies frisked and frolicked in Mother's Baw's palatial penthouse pad, probably accompanied by his gall-burned girlfriend. Did you think I, the great Dr. Hal, was tentatively a convenience or another one of your little sug-deemy whipping boys? What was the deal? I mean, this was me, Dr. Hal himself, the master of church secrets. You were whinnying and bleating, too. I could throw it all up, since, like the show itself, you were an emetic. Why is it that I, a genuinely poverty-stricken artiste, receive no plane fare or travel compensation of any kind? Really, $10 is big news to me any day, but that fat cat, that plutocratic muckety-muck, the Pope of all Nyark, had all but $31 paid of his travel expenses. His travail expenses. Of course, I'm not a big-time preacher or a nuclear materials expert like Keckhaver, or even a trained assassin like the Brow. Must I resort to lewd exhibitionism like that Gabofram fellow to gain notoriety in this so-called church? If you insist on making me the gollywog at the nuptials, wait until you see my little dino boy towel. What was the barely articulated secret subtle guillotine blade of resentment I felt everywhere I went, even when I went to the bathroom? Huh? You know I'm only in it for the collaboration, the late-night creativity sessions, the hearty, masculine, free interplay of fellowship and good, clean ideals. But I come up with the ideas on my radio program, you steal them, and then somebody turns my microphone down so you can get all the credit. I seem to be the gag writer for you guys. Yeah, you've got a lot of nerve, Stang, printing my radio broadcast verbatim in that crummy little pamphlet of yours, then sending me your grocery lists when I asked for input. Were you afraid we were shutting you out of our radio show? Doesn't Doug constantly send you tapes of our performances? Haven't we telephoned you during our 4:30 a.m. broadcasts again and again? You simpering hypocrite. My loyalty to you is unquestioned. We never do a show without mentioning you, but for that kind of treatment, at this kind of wage, I'll go back to legitimate theater. That'll show you. Now, I didn't know what to expect when my train pulled into L.A., but I certainly didn't anticipate waiting through lustrums and epicycles of cosmic time to be picked up, and waiting in vain. I couldn't believe that I was hooked up with such a bunch of bush leaguers. But nobody came, and I was forced to rent a car, despite the expense, just because no taxi drivers would take me into that part of town. Those precincts in the colorful Barrio de los Borrachos section of Los Angeles, wherein stands the stately Alexandria Hotel. The hotel, oh best beloved, the hotel. How could I have been prepared for its retrofitted third-world charm, for the tasteful red-plush Mexican velvet painting-style ambiance, for the Latino wedding scheduled in our exhibition area at the same time as we were scheduled there, for the bustling pharmaceutical exchange, eternally active in the gentleman's lounge and adjoining areas, for the scientific thrill of collecting right on the premises our own 3-foot field specimen of Rattus norwegicus, only slightly decomposed. Most of all, I remember the bungling of Guyon de Cruel, our social director, when he said he'd fix me up with a beautiful babe who could outspeechify the late Vince Lombardi. I naturally assumed that I was slated for a deeply meaningful, warm, and soul-sharing encounter with our comely stage manager, particularly since I distinctly heard him utter a phrase containing the word manager as I handed him a slight premium. But here, too, I was destined to be surprised. Do not expect me to reveal the details of my night of passion with Senora de Botulisma, the hotel manager at the Alex. However, as a gentleman does not discuss that sort of thing in public. Was it out of pique, then, I wonder, that Siri dragged the podium petulantly over the cable to the organ, cutting off the accompaniment to my musical number when I attempted to sing my moving hymn to Dobbs? Bob is my story. Face it, it was a great song, but you gang of no talents all saw fit to conspire against me just because your puerile adolescent attempts at fulfilling your juvenile rock and roll fantasies couldn't out the sludge with the ultra-sophisticates of the L.A. hip-wimp set. But you had to go on and on way too long, exhausting the shallow patience of the crowd until during the scant 45 minutes of my song. While that was going on, every 10 minutes, more and more of precisely the people who can best appreciate subgenius, which is to say, appreciate my stuff, left in droves. Yes, history could have been made that night, but what can I say? Being too short-sighted to turn the show over to me, you all blew it completely. At the time, it seemed that we were in a tight spot. The audience was getting in an ugly mood. We could even have been on the threshold of an SOB club type of incident. It seemed then that it would have been disloyal to whine and complain. Now, however, it seems like a great idea. His Holiness Dr. Howell, Master of Church Secrets. P.S. Paul, you can forget my Velvet Dino Boy painting. Just send me a grand and we'll call it even. Hey, he does owe me a Velvet Dino Boy painting.
Hey, suddenly it comes back. Because that's the way the church is. Coming back years later,
just comes back around. Fish.
The tar baby of religion sticking.
You know that
everybody.
Letter had certain points of accuracy. There was a giant dead rat in there. And
there was a giant foam head. And
there was a giant, horrible, screaming, spitting hotel manager also.
Yep. And there was Senor a giant lies running around with a bullhorn, being a little dictator.
Yeah, he was like a beyond control, I understand.
Way back in mountain time, where the skies grind against the pavement, you'll find the flavors that taste so good you have to savor the paste of yeard. You say, what's the paste of yeard? I never heard of it. They ain't got it in the store. I never heard of paste of yeard. Well, it's pretty good paste. I've used it on my papers and my glue stays good. Like the drapers been daubing up a gravy boat pasting on my head. I love to eat it. Doss of paper. Got some monkeys on my shiny boxes. Got a dog, a cat. I got 8 foxes. I got a big old smashed up orange Cadillac. I pick up chicks. I drive home when I got 3 in the back. That's the load, take her home. I'll pick one up at 6 and one up at 8. I'll pick up a couple more and I'll swing back at 10. I got 4 girls in my car, it's time to take them home. To my home. Stand in the line, 2 at a time, times 2 is a plenty, so what I do. Sally and Jane, you go in first. The others can play in the living room and warm up the hearse. I gotta delegate authority. Get yourselves warmed up because it hurts my wrist to do all the work for 4 women. Delegate authority. Jane, do this. And Margie, do that. Edwina, and Sally do that. Sometimes I do it all via the telephone. I've got a team of scientists, supercomputers running my log of life from an electronic tube. I've got a device in my ear, a device in my leg. I've got 4 mechanical dicks tied to my waist. Sex in the future. Jane never understood the problems that I had, the high-tech solutions and the way she seemed drab. I made her fuck a robot till 2:45 when finally she was ready to come sit with me. Get in the truck. Jane wouldn't fuck the robot. How'd I keep in the closet? Come on, everybody's fucking my robot. That I keep in my closet. I don't like to spend a lot of time on foreplay, so I send my robot to play the games that I ain't got time to play. I ain't got no time for foreplay. When you go to the doctor's office, the nurse comes and talks to you and makes you wait a long, long time. The doctor just kind of comes in and takes care of business and leaves. That's how I do it. I don't have time for foreplay. Not really interested in that because assembly line fornication requires a lot of delegation. Delegation of authority. You need a big mechanical robot in the closet that does exactly what you say.
Sometimes the robot gets lost and does the wrong thing to the wrong thing. You walk out and these robot is mounting the refrigerator. The very unhappy women are sitting on the couch smoking cigarettes. Things have gone astray. Robot! Robot! Unhand the refrigerator and mount Sally! Robot won't do what he's told. Robot! Away from the air conditioning. Robot, Mary, do the robot. Mary, do the robot. Do the robot does you. Robot, Mary, do the robot. Mary, do the robot. Do the robot does you. Sometimes I just watch as the robot works its way through the women that I got from the day's harvest. I'll drive down to the Kroger and harvest some women. Take them to my convertible Cadillac. Or, if it's a particularly bountiful harvest, I'll rent a bus. Harvest the women at the safe grocery store. Harvest the women at the Baptist church. Harvest the women at the strip club.
Harvest 2, 3.
Robot! Destroy your ill will and fornicate with these women. Prepare them. Prepare them for insertion into the device. Prepare them. Robot!
Do as you're told. Robot would not obey one afternoon. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Evil games played with evil women. Oh, poop on it.
Four.
That was and will be Johnny Future. And this is Hour of Slack number 1045. Earlier, we heard Dr. Howell on Puzzling Evidence with Philo and Kitty. And a live subgenius preaching at Winter Star of 2006, thanks to Ace of Cleveland and Princess Wee on the feminist kitchen of Reiki Shangles and Amos Papp on Free Radio Santa Cruz, Price Bob, and Dr. Sinister's Radio Synesthesia from WCSB in Cleveland. Lee Murr did the titles and the end and more.
Delicious calcium helps grown-ups to more vigorous runs.
And now there's calcium.
Calcium helps your runs.
And now there's calcium.
Calcium helps you to enjoy more active runs.
And now there's calcium.
Yes, creamy, smooth, delicious calcium cooks instantly.
Okay, so aside from vengeance against the normals who made fun of us in junior high for wearing glasses, and aside from mindless abject worship of Bob, no matter what he says or does, what are we into? Friends, the subgenius must have slack! Slack is what it's all about. In fact, we thought about naming our new book Slack with a Vengeance. But I think it's actually going to be called the Bobliographon, a subgenius cyclopedia. But the ancients knew slack, friends. The yetis of fabled Mutantis built a great slack crystal that powered their whole advanced civilization and allowed them to create the humans in a test tube. That was a terrible mistake. They abused the knowledge of slack, friends. And that brings us to the question, can there be too much slack?
No.
I hope not. You know, slack, what is slack? Of course, if you have to ask, as you know, you'll never know. No way. No, it's those who know don't say and those who say don't know.
There's no teach.
Maybe I do know, since I don't know anymore. I'm starting to forget. We can't teach you to forget, friends. You can learn to forget. Slap can be gravitational. It can be electromagnetic. But usually it's glandular, friends. Glandular. The wrong parts of the body can exude a type of slack that is unseemly. Wrongful slack. And there are some people, and this is sad, there are some people who have conditional slack. Oh, I'll have slack when I get that raise. Oh, I'd have slack if I could get a 3-week vacation a year instead of 2. I'll have slack if that beloved one would only love me back. Oh, I know what slack really is. Slack is when you know which bands are cool. Friends, I am sorry, but most of these people would not know slack if it was lethally injected into their collapsing veins. The devil owns you, friends. The devil owns you and me and every one of us. But he doesn't own Bob. He owes Bob. The devil owns you, but he owes Bob. You are one of Bob's payments to the devil. So where would you rather be, my friend? Would you rather be in the devil's back pocket or in Bob's? Bob's playing pocket pool with me. Reach down there and feel that slack. Oh, yes. Your subgenius heritage is just running down your genes in no time. Slack, as the case may be. You can become a fount of slack, not a sponge. Once you have slack, it just radiates everywhere. You can chew the cud of slack forever. Just keep, because if you really know what slack is, just appreciating what slack you already have. That's the honest truth. And it's sad, but the way that most people finally learn how much slack they have is when it's taken away. And suddenly they go, oh my God, I was complaining that I didn't have enough money and I was rich as hell all this time. And I'm sure you can all think of a different example of that. I personally am married to slack in the form of Princess We Are Doe. Hey. Over here. We have a kind of a, but neither one of us has a complete brain cell anymore. But you might say we have a kind of a joint brain. So to speak. She represents one type of subgenius, and I'm another type. She is what we call a rewardian, and I'm an emergentile. Emergentiles are the ones that actually get slack from working too hard. It's hard to explain. We don't just eat that hamburger. As Bob said, don't just eat that hamburger. Eat the hell out of it! The rewardians, on the other hand, have this whole series. They have their own rituals. Rest implants. These are cake handling. Pyrocrastination. Lowbrowsing. Follow the gold bricking road and just eating a hamburger. The Church of the Subgenius, friends, pardon my language, it's like having a pet you can fuck. And that brings us to the magic of the Church of the Subgenius. One of our spouting partners on the radio show, Lonesome Cowboy Dave. Dave noticed a high quotient of what we call idiot synchronicities last week. You'll find out when you leave tomorrow. Probably every newspaper you'll still have the name Bob on it, or something like that. Or you'll see some sign that says slack, and then you'll see another one. Synchronicities. You know, as I told Dave, I said, look, it was a full moon last week, and your lunacy causes you to notice those things. Bob makes simple coincidences happen so that your human brain will misinterpret them as being meaningful. But it's the same difference, see? If you think it's meaningful, it is. That's the magic. That's how the magic happens. Why does Bob do this? So that you'll feel special. So that you'll feel like your $30 for that subgenius minister's card was not wasted. it makes you feel that the magic is happening, and it is. It's the magic of your mind, your human mind, misinterpreting such a simple thing as magic. But, you know, the magic world has been cluttered by a lot of kookademic jibber-jabber. You know what I mean? Sometimes it seems like the people who believe in the magic are the most unlucky. And self-reassuring bullshit tends to be self-regenerating. And that's why we see so many pests in our community who never got past mysticism 101. They get just far enough to where they can start generating their own bullshit, and they just eat their own. They eat up their own crap as fast as they can spew it out. There is not exactly a mysticism 102, and the ones who know that are the ones who are teaching mysticism 101. As Bob said, shit in one hand, puke in the other, and see which one fills up first. And that brings me to the problem of subgenius kooks. Yes, believe it or not, there are kooks in the Church of the Subgenius. You know, well, that's a mean thing to say. I mean, you know, we're all kooks on some level, but I've got to admit, there are times when I regret the fact that the Church of the Subgenius does, yes, make assholes worse. It's not the only weird cult that does that. You know, but hump them if they can't take a joke, I guess. The Pink Boys got a Bob complex. And so we find these people who take themselves real seriously. And when they find out that, like, if you don't take yourself real seriously and they find out you don't take yourself real seriously, they won't like you because that indicates that you may not take them all that seriously either. And I know that you know who I'm talking about. Half of you are going, yeah, that guy's sitting next to me. Some of us, luckily, take drugs seriously. But I'm not talking about your conspiracy street drugs and all that stuff that they're having the war on. We're trying to get people to turn their heads inside out, to make your head examine itself. Not a pretty sight. But by studying J.R. Bob Dobbs' frappetic utterances or listening to his frothesy on the Hour of Slack, well, that's the thing. We put together these media shows that are designed to replace drugs by devolving your mind down far enough to make you almost normal. And then suddenly their music sounds good. One time when I was in college, I took a bunch of Thorazine, and for the first time, Black Sabbath sounded fantastic. I hate to say it. The drug of the Church of the Subgenius can make you so stupid that you're almost normal, which for a subgenius is really pretty messed up. It's like being high, only a lot stupider. Now, we've noticed over the years that pot, marijuana, and the Church of the Subgenius have something in common. They both attract both very smart people and very dumb people. And we figured out that the very smart ones like pot because it makes them feel dumber, and the very dumb people like pot because it makes them feel smarter. The Church of the Subgenius helps prevent smart people from thinking they're smarter than they are, and it prevents dumb people from thinking they're dumber than they are. And they both like the way pot makes them feel, and they like the way the Church of the Subgenius makes them think. Now, many ask, Reverend Stang, Bob smoking that pipe. I bet I know what's in that pipe, man. What were you guys on when you came up with that stuff? Does the pipe equal drugs? Nay! Nay! The pipe does not mean drugs, friends. The pipe, that pipe stem is a tunnel to knowledge. That's what it's a pipeline to eternal slackdomness. Your path to the very lungs of Bob are in that pipe. If you can butt, throw your butt into that pipe and light yourself, it's better than sex or crack, my friends. And the meaning of life lies at the other end of Bob's pipe. So, you have to ask yourself, are you ready? You thought the fundamentalists were crazy. You can be a
billion times crazier. Yeah. Yes, friends, you can, as Bob said, you can relax in the safety of your own delusions. Pull the wool over your own eyes. It's, you're still blind, but at least it's your wool. And as I said, the point is, Bob can teach you to forget. You can learn to forget. You can forget your old life. Oh, Bob, I tried to be normal, Bob, but they called me nerd. They called me Trekkie. They called me old one penis. It's just not fair, Bob! Friends, that's why it's up to you to pull yourself up by your own big red straps. Tomorrow might be X day. We don't know what time. Why do you even think this planet is Earth? Do you know that for sure? I don't think you're so sure of everything, but you know nothing. You know nothing, I tell you. Oh, but Bob's immaculation. That didn't really happen, did it, Reverend Stang? That's just a metaphor. Bob was just a man, that's all. Just a teacher. A great teacher. My God! If the immaculation was nothing but a metaphor, then the whole Church of the Subgenius might as well be just a joke. Friends, you have got to let loose the Bob in you. Beat the slack into that child. Speaking of which.
Actually, I'm going to recommend a book. If I may, my opinion, I enjoyed reading this book. It was called 1491, and it just came out last year. So it you might find that in your public library.
Who wrote that?
I can't remember the guy's name. Let me look that up here.
There's a wonderful book called A Distant Mirror. I think the author's name is Barbara Tuchman. I could be wrong, but the title is A Distant Mirror. She's a historian, and this particular book is a really vivid account of life in around that time in Europe, the 1300s and 1400s, when the plague hit and the Crusades were going on. She followed had a particular French nobleman who had a lot of whose life was well recorded.
Looks like the author's name was Charles C. Mann, with two N's.
On 1491.
1491.
What a fake name.
On, in the year 1491,
Columbus
Bob Numbus sailed the ocean scum.
That's the year Henry VIII was born.
Bottle Numbus. Well, there are crackpots who believe that Amerigo was some kind of Masonic super Uberland that this fake Christopher Columbus was sent to. I don't know why they want to take credit for the guy. I guess he turned out to be a little bit nasty. He and his brother kind of went mad, you know?
Mm.
Have you ever heard these tales of wiping out the Arawaks and the Caribs of millions of people just by being real jerks?
You know, I've heard a number of stories about...
I hear stuff like that every Columbus Day.
Yeah, and in Mexico they call it Dia de la Raza. They consider that like the anniversary of the founding of their very culture, because it's like the three-way. Yeah, well, you have the Spanish culture merging with the local Indian culture, and then they merge together to form the third culture, and so that's a really big holiday in Mexico, I guess.
I did not know that.
And Italian Americans tend to observe it more too, because you know Columbus was a famous Italian who did great things, or if you want to call them. Well, I mean, sure they're great. You know, some of them were greatly bad. Some of them, I don't know.
If a certain sea battle had gone a different way, this would probably be, we'd all be speaking Portuguese.
Well, that's conceivable.
Or Spanish.
Or if Benedict Arnold hadn't been caught, Canada would be part of the United States right now.
Could now, be. I understand there's a movie out called Confederate States of America, or CSA.
Yes, it's a fake documentary.
Right, a fake documentary about what if the South had won the Civil War. America ends up siding with Germany during World War II, I believe, and bombs Japan on Pearl Harbor Day.
Wow. Well, there's another...
I can't wait to see this movie. It
there's a series
really,
of...
And because of slavery still happening in the United States, the slaves flee to Canada, and Canada becomes the home of rock and roll, jazz, and free expression.
Wow, that's conceivable. Yeah.
Well, if there is a second civil war, it'd be like on the level of a Cold War, wouldn't it?
Well, this was a what if the South had won.
Right. Actually, I'm going to recommend another, an alternate history book by an author named Harry Turtledove. I can't remember the...
Yeah, he's well known for alternate history.
Yeah, he wrote an excellent one about, well, I think it's excellent anyway.
Did he do that Rutger Hauer movie, Fatherland?
I don't know.
The Fatherland, he goes back to kill himself like a la, what's his name's principal. He's Hitler's son, right?
All right, I'm going to free up a phone line here.
Hitler's like a reptilian Diogenes' son or something like that. He takes a time machine or some sort of one of the new government sex pills or something like that. He goes back to 1939, and he becomes Hitler's favorite guy and then later kills him or tries to.
Yeah.
Is that the pretty much the premise of it?
No.
No.
Oh, no. No. Actually, in.
I think you're thinking of Life of Bob, Chapter 3, The Neuronicon.
The Neuronicon?
Yeah.
The Encyclopedia Neurotica.
Bob went back in time. He killed Hitler, but he also had. He accidentally. There's a Futurama based on this. He accidentally killed his grandfather, so he had to make love to his own grandmother so that he would be born.
But in a way, fathering himself.
Grandfathering himself.
Grandfathering himself.
I'm my own grandpa.
In his DNA, he was resistant to rays that these flying brains would emit that would make people stupid. He was immune to that.
Well, Hitler was his own uncle and his own cousin or something like that. He was a little inbred.
Well, these are Hellenized myths. You know, when you create a new hero, you have to come up with some kind of supernatural birth or death. Like in the case of Bob there, having sex with his own grandmother is not something... most of us haven't at least dreamed of. Well, it's the idea to be self-born.
You know, I've seen some pictures of
not eat chicken sandwiches, and that's the real lure of it.
Germany consented to incest because they knew that they had to populate the fatherland. They didn't care, you know, how they created babies, just as long as they were creating babies,
and that the gene pool remained pure.
Anytime we copulate or have sexual, even with ourselves, we are trying to maintain the fatherland. We're trying to reproduce, to replete the depleted mankind accordion. We're trying to bring ourselves as the only creature.
No, it doesn't count if you're just, like, onanning into your Kleenex.
Yeah,
that's
we're going to...
So bleak.
Oh, dear. Onanism is pure semiotics.
Just masturbating when I'm doing this?
Onanism is pure semiotics. And with that...
Oh, boy.
Actually, that's in the intro sequence to my show. Somebody saying, onanism is pure semiotics.
Well, nano-onans are what we're all created. Every subgenius is created out of quadrillions of nano-onans that seek to change... Whatever they encounter.
That's a creepy thought.
Nano onans? Really, I'm sorry. I was born from a mega onan.
Well, I just crawled out of one of those yeast infections, and here I am. I don't see anything, period.
Hey, it's almost Easter.
Some, you ever have a beer that has yeast
right,
on the bottom
Easter
of the bottle?
On its
a beard?
Beer with yeast in the bottom of the bottle?
Oh, I've had a yeast infection in my beard. It's
not
my pubic goatee, so to speak.
Right. Never mind. Never mind, I'm talking about bottle conditioning of tasty fermented beverages. But anyway, don't leave me alone with these clowns, please.
Pleasure is where you find it. And many of us
gobble at the bottom of a bottle
and stumble around for a long time before we...
Yeah, I'm seeing triple vision right now as we speak.
Beer goggles.
Your eyes are not blurred, but you've actually grown new retinas.
No, Reverend Triple Vision just entered the station.
No wonder nobody can see him three times.
I'm gonna kill you. Wednesday.
Man shot an arrow into the air.
Completely gone.
When did you first lose contact?
Contact was broken. Bob's commanding.
He shot an arrow into the air.
Naked News TV is here. We're doing it naked.
Uncharted asteroid. And as of this moment, there is little certainty.
We're in bad shape.
It's hot, see? It's very hot. This man's gonna die.
That's odd. I'll kill you.
Spoiler from A to C.
Oh, maybe I could get some kind of a fix. I went west towards nothing.
I want to know, why?
You're out of your mind.
I was wrong.
Well, I must have been wrong.
He was trying to tell us something. What do you suppose he... Here in a minute. You're out of your mind. You already...
This is a jungle where only the tough animals survive.
Think. Probes at the back of your head. If you stop, maybe sanity will get you by the throat.
Oh!
We never left the Earth. We just crashed back into it.
Practical joke perpetrated by Mother Nature. Small human drama. And, of course, the Twilight Zone.
Norel Greff did that, and you are listening to The Hour of Slack from the Church of the Subgenius of FamousSubgenius.com. The background music is The Amino Acids.
Smokin'. Produced and directed by Virginia Moot, Ralph Moot, and Sammy Moot. Stars Ralph Moot as Matt Moot, U.S. Moot. The script was specially written for Smokin' by Sammy Moot, Ralph Moot, and Virginia Moot. With editorial supervision by Ralph Moot, Virginia Moot, and Sammy Moot. The music was composed and conducted by Virginia Moot, Ralph Moot, and Bill Moot. Sound patterns by Ray Moot and Sammy Moot. Featured in the cast were Sammy Moot, Ray Moot, Bill Moot, and Ralph Moot as Cock, and Virginia Moot as Kit Kit. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Smoke Gun.
And thanks to WCSB for letting us use their microphones and recorders.
Here's hoping it all blows up real soon.
And now,
Arrhythmic Dodges from the Prince of Pants.
This.
NCI.
This is AP World. I'm President Bush. The winners of the record-breaking phone power pot jack stepped forward Wednesday to claim their prize. The eight co-workers from North and South America, Europe, Africa, and Asia will each receive about $22 before taxes. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are calling for increased scrutiny of a deal that would allow increased scrutiny of the White House. There is nothing wrong.
There is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong.
And President Bush will name 15 new cardinals Wednesday. The new cardinals come from Nebraska or in Iraq. Dozens of cardinals have been attacked or burned in retaliation from 11 new cardinals eligible to vote, including AP World.
The Orbit, Lena. Throughout history, gigantic preachers, pastors, and saints have been born in the church pulpit. The Orbit, Lena. In a moment, I'll tell you about the gigantic pastor who stirred himself before he could complete it and has remained at Mount Vernon ever since. The Orbit, Lena.
What are your dreams for 10 years from now? Perhaps you'd like to abroad. 10 years, comfortable broads will certainly be available. Well, if you've been counting on future leisure broads, or a college broad for your children, or retirement broad of your own, the solution is still the same. My broads. Purchase them the easy, automatic way where you work through the broad a month plan. Broads are profitable. For every $3 invested today, you'll receive 4 mature broad. Remember, buy your broad through the broad a month savings plan.
Recently, in a big eastern city, a group of trained housewives asked this simple question. What food do you buy? An overwhelming majority of housewives said they preferred to buy small children. And by a ratio of more than 8 to 1, they insisted on prepared babies packed in glass. Here are the reasons mentioned most frequently. First, you can heat, serve, and store leftover babies in the same glass container. Second, you can buy an increasing number of the better brands of young, sterilized babies packed in glass.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
A word of advice for those of you who suffer.
Do you know about the little white tablet? Just a-waiting for the moment when you need 'em. Best for any kind of distress. Keep under control.
The modern formula has never been surpassed for effectiveness. Only 49 cents.
Impulsive spending and goals and things like that.
Dope everybody up.
Right.
Dope everybody up.
And, yep.
Dope everybody up.
And, yes.
Just dope everybody up.
Yep.
Dope, and, dope.
12:40 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Certainly is.
What's your problem?
No, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.